now, right now in Congress, they're deciding they're going to ban TikTok because they're afraid that the Chinese government will get the data from TikTok.
Protecting your data is probably virtually impossible today.
Yes.
All right. Hi, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Before we jump in today's episode, I wanted to invite you to join our community. Now, this will help you become more confident and capable in managing both your IT and cybersecurity areas. Now, we work really hard to bring you valuable content, and so all I ask is hit the subscribe button, and that way you'll be notified, and we very much appreciate your support. Now, if you're looking for any of our podcasts, you can find them on Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts.
This podcast is your go-to source for the latest news and insights in cybersecurity technology, law, and regulation. So it's important to know that while we're arming you with knowledge, the information shared here is purely for educational reasons and purposes and should not be considered legal advice.
All right, guys, welcome to Season 2, Episode 1. We are so excited. We're in our second season. So today, we were having a little chat, right? And somehow we started discussing identity theft.
Yep.
And while we were doing that, one of us thought, hey, why don't we go ahead and Google that and see what comes up? And we did.
Yeah.
And as Google does, it never, you know, it never surprises us. But today we got some great videos, right? And we were watching them, and of course we were chuckling at a couple of them. But some of them has some really valuable content. We were thinking, how would our audience actually know if what they were watching was accurate or not?
Yeah, so we're delving into crucial issues surrounding identity theft. A big part of the problem stems from, obviously, not protecting our data.
Yeah, well, safeguarding your information is probably one of the most important things you can do today. In fact, I know you were part of this, but in Season 1, Episode 3, we did a whole thing on data privacy. So if you guys haven't watched that one, go to Spotify, go to Google, go to Apple. Give it a watch. It'll be worth your time. So let's go ahead and dive right into our first video. So if you want to queue up our first video, and we will go ahead and listen and make some comments on it.
Identity theft occurs when fraudsters obtain your personal information, and it costs victims millions of dollars every year. The list is vast, but crimes like financial fraud, tax fraud, and healthcare fraud can be the result of unprotected personal information. This is Lacey's story.
I didn't know initially anything was wrong. A family friend got a hold of me, had asked me why the cops were looking for me. I initially thought it was a joke. You know, I've never been in any kind of trouble, not even a seatbelt ticket. And she goes, no, there is the chief of police of Oblong is looking for you. He had told me that he needed me to come into his office. My name had been brought up in an investigation that he was doing. We live in a small town, you know. You only see this kind of stuff to me in movies and in bigger towns. You know, I felt safe here.
With only a driver's license and a social security number, the criminals opened a checking account online in Lacey's name.
They had made purchases in like California, Kentucky, Tennessee.
In the aftermath of the crime, lenders threatened to repossess Lacey's home and car.
I can't even get a simple loan because my credit has been...
What do you think about that one?
Oh, definitely true.
Yeah, I go in the true category. You'll probably hear me say this particular suggestion after we watch every single video because... protecting your data is probably virtually impossible today.
Yes.
And as such, what can you do to protect yourself from that exact situation from occurring to you? And one of the most basic things I recommend is lock your credit.
Yes, I think that's an excellent idea. And have the option within the card itself to be able to lock the card itself so that when things do happen, whether a debit or a credit card, you can just go in and lock it.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't even know about it. It's a free service. It's required by law that the credit bureaus allow anybody to freeze their credit. And when you do that, it's incredibly empowering because even when we go to apply, like recently I applied for a car loan, and I couldn't get my own loan because the bank couldn't pull my credit until I, of course, took
Right.
The freeze off and everything was fine. So to stop something like this exact thing, because she said that they got her social security number and they got her driver's license number and all that, and that's super easy to get, right? I mean, that's, I think, probably most people's...
Probably already out there.
Are probably most likely out there, right? So you get that, and then they go to try to open an account, and they're going to do a credit check. And when they do that, guess who's going to get a call?
Yeah.
You. And you're going to say, that ain't me.
Well, even better, I know that I did the exact same thing. My wife and I were out purchasing a car, and I got the alert that someone was trying to check it because I lock Experian and TransUnion.
Yeah.
And so we went and did it, and I forgot to unlock it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Keep it locked. All right, good. Well, I hope that helps you guys.
Someone opened up a credit line in my name.
That's awesome.
And used it for multiple years, incredible credit, and stopped using it at a bank I never used. And I just look at it sometimes on my credit history, and I was like, what the f*** happened here?
So that's identity theft.
Kind of. I actually have insanely good credit.
So here's my question. Why would they pay it down?
In my head, it's better to think of it as like a Robin Hood-esque figure that saved my credit score.
That. Okay, let's
so
do
my
that.
Credit score is like, great.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this, so... So maybe, just maybe, someone who was actually a good guy cut the information and just needed a little loan.
Yeah, absolutely. Or just needed a clean slate.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, stranger things have happened. Would I leave my credit unlocked in hope that a Robin Hood-ish hacker would actually care about me and improve my credit score?
No.
I wouldn't.
I don't know. I might.
Yeah, good.
It depends, I guess, on how bad.
You must be in the IT business. You live dangerously.
You do the risk assessment on it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Make sure.
Positives, negatives, yeah. See what's going on.
What's the worst that could happen?
You have no credit. You need credit.
No credit. That's right.
All right. No go on that one.
No.
Marriott International announcing this morning that the personal information of over 500 million customers...
Wait, I gotta stop that one.
Million.
So there's, what is it, 340 million in the U.S.?
And he'll tell you that.
So think about what the probability is that if you ever stayed at a Marriott or you're part of their Bon Voyage club, your information is in this.
Correct. Right? Yeah, so, yeah. Odds are pretty, obviously pretty high because 500 million.
Million.
500 million. There's only 300 million people in the U.S. Obviously, these are international customers as well. Were exposed in a breach of its hotel and timeshare guest reservation database. The world's largest hotel chain. For 327 million of the impacted guests, the compromised data includes name, mailing address, email address, phone number, passport number, rewards account information, date of birth, arrival, departure information, reservation date, communication preference. For some customers who book directly with the chain, the information also includes payment card numbers and payment card expiration dates. These days, it's not a question of if your information is going to get stolen. It's just a matter of when. The only possibility that you don't have your information stolen now is you're completely off the grid. I mean, you have no cards. You never use your social anywhere on any application that goes into any database at any time. You never post your phone number or your address on anything anywhere, which means you pretty much live in a cave. You're off the grid beyond belief, right? And so today it is the identity theft world is just a part of our world. These things just get hacked and they get stolen so regularly.
So... this is one that I actually love. So this was Marriott. So now, right now in Congress, they're deciding they're going to ban TikTok because they're afraid that the Chinese government will get the data from TikTok.
What data?
Any data. Login, username, whatever they're going to put on TikTok. The information's already out there.
Right.
They own the platform.
Right.
So it would be only protect those people who have never been on TikTok.
Right. This is only valid if you've never...
I have never been on TikTok.
on, well, I mean, or used any internet services and posted your information.
Correct.
So even if you took yourself off the grid today, the data's already
out there. Oh, yeah, the data's already out there.
So it almost probably do more harm to fully disconnect from the internet today because you're losing out on monitoring tools that you can use.
Right, and find out what's going on.
Yeah, and but there's things you can do to help minimize. This is going to happen probably on almost every website or service out there. Your data is going to get stolen, right? And just, I'd like to give a helpful tip, if I can, is use unique email addresses for every service. And that will help you so that if the Marriott one gets compromised, then you can shut that email connection down. Of course, there's other data there. I know you've got the whole PCI concern with credit card information. So just one tidbit would be, like, I know Apple does it. I'm sure Google does it. Just it takes no time whatsoever to set up a unique email address for every single site.
Most password managers now will do that as well. Like, okay. I use IronVest as one of them, where it'll actually set up not only fake email addresses, but fake phone numbers, fake credit card numbers.
There you go.
Once again, you're still putting your credit card number into the platform so that they can make the fake one for you. But at least it's only one place instead of all over the
internet.
Correct,
yeah. So you've got compromises on the Marriott site. You can shut down that that credit card. Yeah. So, well, good. Let's see what comes up next.
The best way to prevent identity theft is to stay aware and on top of your finances. Thieves can use your name, credit card number, or social security number to make fraudulent charges on your accounts, making you liable for these. In fact, almost 18% of Americans have been subject to ATM or credit card fraud.
Well, that's a short version of the first video we saw, right?
Yeah.
So what he said, I would say, is 100% accurate.
Yes.
And,
I think it's just more to the point to watch what you're putting out on the internet, how you're putting it out there, use the different techniques that we've already been talking about. Alias email addresses, alias phone numbers, alias credit card numbers, any way that you can protect that data or at least get it down to one site instead of all the sites.
100%. Yep, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And the other thing you can do is set up alerts. So if you have a credit card that you use fairly commonly, you can set up an alert so that every time you have a card, a charge of over $100, let's say, alert me. Right, so that way, if somebody does get your credit card information, you'll find out about it pretty quickly.
You can also limit how much can be transferred out of your account as well, so that they can't get more than a couple hundred maybe dollars instead of a couple of $1,000.
Maybe use a debit card.
Yeah.
Rule number one, Dave Ramsey. I watched a video on Dave Ramsey. Like, never use a debit card online. that's an open checkbook, so don't use that. It's always better to use a credit card because you have protection.
Okay, you need to check this out. This is not my real voice. This is voice cloning technology I'm using to show you how scammers are impersonating you or your family members in order to scam people out of their hard-earned money.
My name is Preet, and this is now the real me. Won't people recognize their grandchild's voice on the phone?
Well, if the scammer is using a plugin to make it sound like a bad connection or a bad long-distance call with poor quality,
it's probably easier than you think. But in the end, it's a numbers game. Scammers will just keep on dialing and move on until they get a hook. So the success rates are going to dramatically increase because of AI.
I know your philosophy on this, but yeah. I don't know how most people maybe can follow. That'd be like saying don't use the internet, right? I think AI is a part here. But wait, go ahead and tell people you.
Well, I think that this is a little bit different. So. We have now AI policies that we have to do for all the different compliances and to stay secure, so that we say that if we're going to use an AI ChatGPT, anything AI, creating presentations, whatever you're going to do, if you have a policy in place that says, don't use sensitive information, don't put numbers on there that you don't want, don't put in a database, don't put in all these different things and keep it safe that way, you have to trust your employees that they're going to do exactly what you're asking them to do. My personal opinion when it comes to AI in the corporate environment is just don't do it, because then you don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. But that's not realistic, I don't think. For this, it's a little bit different because they had all of those scams that they were doing in Florida for the longest time. And what they were doing is they were having people call the elderly saying it was their grandchildren and that they were kidnapped and they needed to get the money. And that's where I think that this is a huge thing for the threat actor and the fact that now I don't even need the kid. I just need to get their voice.
Right.
And it takes 2 seconds over a phone to get someone's voice and the timbre. So.
Yeah, again, so the odds of our voices being synthesized in short order is probably fairly high. I heard this one a while ago. I think it's actually really critical for both business and personal, but to prevent the personal example you gave of the elderly being called and saying that their grandchildren were being held ransom or something like that, is to have a password, have a passcode. Because, you know, if you keep that confidential, you could have whatever it is so that your grandma or grandpa or whatever it is, it says, okay, great, what's the passcode? And AI won't know what that is, right? So that's one thing you can do. And it's the same in business, right? Because, I mean, there's not a week that goes by where we unfortunately don't get a story from a prospect where they were taken for hundreds of thousands of dollars because somebody came into their network and took over the email address, let's say, of the CEO and started an email chain with the director of finance, let's say, and saying, hey, here's a vendor I'd like you to pay, send, you know, wire $250,000 to such and such. Who's going to, it says the CEO's information. So you just have to have a policy where you just will never use that form of communication as a reasonable way to verify that you should send that.
Or have a process in place or a second line of communication that you can use to verify, right? We're gonna trust what's going on in front of us, but we're going to validate that it's actually happening.
Yeah, just like two-factor authentication. So if you get an email from your CEO saying, go ahead and do this, go, great. I'm now going to call him or her on their cell phone, and I'm going to, you know, talk to that person and maybe even have a passcode between, it's only two people, right? It's a, you know, a finance person and a CEO and a finance person and maybe a COO, whoever has authority to do those types of things, set up a passcode.
Makes sense.
All right. Sounds good. What do we got? I think this is our last one, right?
I think this is the last one.
All right.
Because of AI now, it's really important to have a very secret safe word that you have with your family. Because
that's
AI
a really good point.
It's something that like we have in our family because when a safe word. Because what they do is they get your voice and they will call your parents and pretend that they've kidnapped you and extort you for money. But if you have a safe word, or whatever it may be, like watermelon, if that safe word isn't said, or you can't get that word out of them, then you know that it's fake.
It's a security word.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what you just said.
Yeah.
The Osbournes agree with
you.
Yeah,
the Osbournes have their stuff together. I could actually understand Ozzy in that video, which makes it all worthwhile. But yeah, I think truth, and everybody should do that. It seems really far-fetched now to do something like this, like right now, because AI is just sort of really coming into its own right now. We're still in its infancy stages.
Yep.
So doing this now, having this grouped in now, it'll just save you guys lots of stress.
I think that's in anything that you're building or anything that you're doing, to have that foundation laid so that as you move forward and as you get, if you're in a corporation, you're getting bigger, that you already have those policies in place and that corporate culture set so that everyone understands this is the way we're going to handle this.
Yep. Absolutely. So did you see a common theme at all in any of these videos?
No,
did you
pick
up and
didn't.
No? Okay.
I've been, you know,
Were you even here?
Might be AI.
Ah.
Deepfake.
Deepfake. Well, yeah, I kind of felt like the main thing that I got from it is that your data is out there already. So pretty much in order to pull any of these things off, you know, all the way down to the Osbournes at the end, AI had to have your voice.
Yes.
So your data is out there. That's the common theme to me. And what you need to do is understand that and start taking some actions, which we've given you guys a couple of suggestions.
Yeah, and they've already started doing deepfakes with video, so that they've had meetings with deepfakes and the people didn't realize they were on and got scammed. So they're definitely moving in that direction, and as computer processing becomes bigger, quantum computing, we're going to see a lot more.
Yeah, quantum computing would be a fun episode to do on that. And ultimately, it's going to be AI against AI. There could be good guy AI and bad guy AI, and they'll fight it out.
I think they're already doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed this format. If you liked it, go ahead and hit the like and subscribe buttons. And if you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and hit the notifications button. That way you'll know when we drop a new episode. If you like the episode, go ahead and give us a rating. And if you want to suggest a future topic, go ahead and note that down in the comments below. That would really be helpful so we can give you content that you guys are looking for. Now, if you're just looking for more information on both cybersecurity or IT needs, go ahead and visit us at One Step Secure IT. And until next time, stay safe.